Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Richie Neal, always one of my favorite people to talk to. Let me start by saying, what about Obamacare? Is the Obama presidency incredibly damaged by what has happened?
Well, I think there's some damage that's been done. I think that one of the difficulties that the president has at the moment is that the narrative is being redrawn. And you have a number of other issues that are looming out there, and I think that the national news media is now trying to make the argument that because Obamacare, from a technical sense, has not gotten off the ground the way it was anticipated to, that the rest of the agenda is hobbled. So I think that he needs to be mindful, and I'm sure he is, of that problem, but not to miss the following point. Many of the people who are now complaining that the system has not worked have gone out of their way to make sure that it didn't work. So essentially, it's the people that set the fire, then they get to call the fire department.
Exactly.
And I think the troubling aspect of that is there are parts of it that are very important and are very popular, including an end to pre-existing condition, an end to capping out-of-pocket expenses, an end to making sure that your children have to leave your insurance plan the minute they get out of college or when they hit 22. The idea that many of the items in this legislation remain quite significant, women's health care, most notably. Many of the services that are positive have already gone into effect, and the public has not even acknowledged it. But I also think that, look, the president was very, assertive when he said that he took responsibility for the failure of the technical side of the legislation on the website. And I think that the White House bears criticism for the fact that there were 3 years to roll this out.
Sure.
That's the problem. But again, it's technical in nature, and those things, I believe, can be fixed. I must tell you that we've argued about the role of health care in America since Truman was president.
Yep.
And this is the first time that we've had a chance to really implement far-reaching changes that, in the aftermath of the most successful initiative that we've ever had in terms of universal care, and that's Medicare.
Sure.
And, you know, Republicans actually voted for Medicare. And I think that in this instance, this argument that has been popular across the land in conservative circles, that this is a government takeover, it certainly is not. In fact, the idea was to keep the private sector alive to discipline price. And it was complicated. There's no doubt about it. Big legislation frequently is complicated. Not to miss the point that the president was correct when he said last week, look, this should have and could have been done better. He accepted responsibility for having misspoken about the issue of people keeping their health insurance plans. And I think that they should bear some responsibility for saying that if, in fact, they knew that you wouldn't be able to. It's a small number, 6 to 12 million. The idea is that of that 6 to 12 million, 7 to 9 million probably will qualify for a better plan at a reduced cost. So I think that you have now a political fodder that is underway, and it's not going to change going into an election year. And the group that was against it 3 years ago, they're still against it, and they see this as an opportunity to rally their base, even though the same people that are opposed to this think that Medicare has worked splendidly.
I, of course, have always felt that all they had to do was start lowering Medicare every year and have universal health care. But most people think I was naive about that and it couldn't have been done. You said something there, Richie, that I found real interesting. You talked about the disciplining of price by keeping the insurance companies involved. Could you explain that to me?
Well, I think one of the dangers that you have in government entitlement programs is that they move beyond the mission statement for a consequence that was never intended. And I think that if they go on autopilot, one of the difficulties is that the expenditure side of the ledger frequently does not meet the revenue side of the ledger. And I think, for example, as much as we think Medicaid is important, it is a very expensive part now of state budgets. In many states, it consumes a third to one-half of state revenue. It's an extraordinary expenditure. But not to miss the point that it's cheaper to get people in to preventive care by using a process similar to Medicaid or to understand another part of Medicare that is frequently underreported. Half the revenue at major American hospitals today comes from Medicare.
Sure.
Another 10 to 15% comes from Medicaid. Doctors will tell you that Medicare is their most efficient payer.
But a lot of them are crapping out of the program.
Medicaid, not Medicare.
Yeah, the Medicare, even Medicare.
Still, Medicare is a pretty reliable payer. So what we had here was, I think, the dilemma of how could you expand healthcare opportunities and at the same time use the private sector to keep price in proportion. And I think that that was the effort that the president sincerely made. And I still think that if people would give this a chance, that we could find a path forward that would be very good for the American people and not a budget buster.
Well, Rich Neal, assuming that everything you've said is insightful as always, I want to ask you this. Is there a chance that they're going to bring the program down, the Republicans?
Well, I mean, I think the danger here is clearly that if you were to see them pick up more House seats next year, which in an off-year election they were scheduled to do, the question is how many. And the Senate, I think everybody would argue accurately, is up for grabs. So then you would have a president with 2 years to go who certainly would veto any measure that would attempt to overturn his, what I think is his legacy issue in so many ways. But then I think the momentum would be underway for a significant challenge. You know, recall this was voted on by the House, voted on by the Senate, upheld by the Supreme Court, embraced by a president, and yet the arguments that have been made against it, for example, the one that said we were creating death panels, when you sift through and you sort many of these charges, they are so inaccurate. And again, the idea, as I think Gail Collins pointed out in the New York Times about three or four weeks ago, in a very funny but significant line, when she wrote, the only thing that would have bothered Republicans more than the failure of the website would have been had it been successful.
So if enough people don't sign up, they just sit on their hands, they don't sign up.
Well, that's the point price discipline. Risk is spread. That's the idea of insurance.
Right,
we
right.
spread risk because younger people need less health care than older people.
Okay, and if those people don't sign up,
that's the challenge.
Then we got a problem.
Well, not to miss the point. If they don't sign up, I understand some of the problems on the technical side of the website, but understand this. We should not be subsidizing 28 and 29-year-old males across America who refuse to buy health insurance. And that's what's happening now. We all pay $1,000 a year in our own health insurance plans to cover what is known as cost sharing in the emergency room. And I think that the emergency room is a bad way to get health care. The number of people who postpone big issues because they don't have preventive care is another example of risk sharing. Insurance is based upon the idea of shared risk and actuarial reality. And my sense is that, again, this has potential, and others, I think we need to understand this as well. Social Security was fixed many times. Medicare has been fixed many times. And I think in this instance here, what we did and embraced is consistent with what I've just described.
Yes, but what happens? I mean, you're exactly right. I get the whole theory of it. But what happens if they sit on their hands and they just don't come?
Well, I think part of it is to direct them now toward the navigators.
Right.
And I think that the navigators could be very, very helpful in convincing a young person, or the agents very helpful in convincing that 28 or 29-year-old male in particular, because that's our focus, that they need health insurance. And they need health insurance because of the principle of shared risk, and they're better off in terms of avoiding a catastrophic ailment for themselves and their families if they have health insurance. You can be sure of one thing. Once they marry and have children,
yeah,
they start thinking about health insurance.
Richie Neal, always wonderful to have you. You're so smart. it's just fantastic to talk to somebody who knows as much as you do. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Alan.
When we come back the next time, let's talk about targeting crime in your hometown of Springfield, okay?
Yep.